The world's a mess. But God never changes. God has a plan. That's the plan for you and me to succeed in this life and to find out what we're supposed to do with this life. Our theme for last month and this month is tailor-made. It's about 3 years ago we were on a mission trip to Uganda, Africa. We landed late at night, and as we're waiting for our suitcases to come, they don't show up. We're speaking the next morning at a conference, a pastor's conference, and they dress like this in their conferences, and all I have, because my suitcase didn't come, are my jeans, and I think I had one clean shirt in there. And so the next morning I'm wearing my jeans and my sneakers and polo shirt, and they don't really like that. So they sent a tailor, and he measured me up. And the next day they brought me this suit. And so now I'm dressed for the occasion except for my shoes, and so they brought me these shoes too. So praise the Lord, they equipped me for battle. You put on the spiritual armor, right? For the battle that's raging. Anyway, I'm telling you all this, that each of you have been measured and tailor-made by the Lord God himself. There's a plan and a purpose for you. You know, God created Adam and Eve with a plan, with a purpose, a special plan. He's created you and me with that special purpose and special plan. And we need to, I'm hoping this morning that I can give you a little bit so you can understand the call that God has placed on your life. That you're not an accident. You're not a nothing. You have purpose. And so he's created you and me with a special plan as well. And that plan is to succeed. We live in this, soul and spirit, in an earthly body, living on this earth to do something for the Lord. And we have a free will, so we can do it or not do it. It's usually better to do it than to not do it. So the problem we have is that many, many people, millions of people in this world don't even know who the Lord our God is that we serve, that we have dedicated our life to. And so they try to fill that emptiness with everything. Drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, you name it, fancy cars, everything. But it doesn't satisfy their needs, maybe only for a while. You know, a nice car would be great, but after a while it's a used car. Everybody drives a used car, by the way. But I'm telling you these things that so you help you understand, and I believe you do, that it's only in God that we find our satisfaction. It's only in God that we have hope and that we have a reason to live. He fulfills those needs that we have. We were created in his image for such a time as this. I like to go to Esther 4 and verse 14. There was a problem with Mordecai and Haman wanted to kill all the Jews, and Mordecai goes to, I have that backwards, don't I? Anyway, the plan was to kill all the Jews. And so this verse says, if you keep quiet, we're silent at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from another or some other place. But if you and your relatives will die, but you and your relatives will die, but you and your relatives will die. In other words, he's making it very plain. If you don't do something, you're going to be wiped out. Your family, your relatives. And perhaps, who knows if perhaps you were made for what? Such a time as this. Hallelujah, that you were created for such a time as this. That God, when you were born, that you were created for such a time as this. And guess what Esther did? She immediately went into action and saved her family, and she saved the race of the Jews. Now, if you want to really have some good reading, you need to read all of Esther, because there's some really interesting things in there. But for such a time as this, we are fighting a strong spiritual battle. We'll read Ephesians 6:12, where it tells us very plainly, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We're seeing it all around us. We're seeing the wars. We're seeing the spiritual wars that are taking place. So I say, because of this season that we're living in, we must act quickly and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We must speak the name of Jesus, whether it's from the mountaintop or the valley or from your house. Hallelujah. Because we're living in the end times. Things are moving rapidly. How do you know we're living in end times? Because it's prophesied, and we see the prophecy being fulfilled day after day after day. I believe that you can make a difference in your family and with your relatives if you will just speak out. We must speak the name of Jesus wherever we go, whether it's the restaurant, the grocery store, as Pastor, Walmart, wherever you go. But Esther, Queen Esther, she risked her life by doing what she did. She could have been killed for the steps that she took, but she was willing to risk her life to save her family and her relatives. Are we willing to do that? We go to Ephesians 6:10-11. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies of the devil. See, the devil wants to destroy you. But we need what? We need spiritual help. And that spiritual help comes from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The power, he said, be strong and powerful. And that strength and power comes to us from the Holy Spirit. But we understand that the anointing is the power of the Holy Spirit working in the believer's life. And this power is always connected to the Holy Spirit, because he's releasing God's power in us and through us so we can stand and not be moved when the forces of darkness come against us. And it's so important that we understand that we need that dynamic force of the Holy Spirit, because that's what it is in our life. It's a force that goes beyond sickness, it goes beyond deliverance, it goes beyond anything that has trapped you or entangled you. And it gives you and me the power to do the things that God has called us to do. You say, so there are purposes and benefits of God's presence and power. And I'd like to read out of Exodus 33:14-16. Moses, in chapter 33 and verse 1, God was asking Moses to move the children of Israel to the promised land. And now here, him and God, Moses and God are talking. And God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. That was Moses talking. Moses, for how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except that you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. Hallelujah. See, there's a separation that God has planned for his people. And we know that's Israel, the children of Israel, but also for you and me. That he wants us not to be a part of everything that's going on, but to be separate and take a stand for what we know is right. And the church, sad to say, as a whole in America, has caved in to false beliefs and false teaching. But God wants us to stand up and make a difference and speak the truth. So here Moses is saying, I ain't going anywhere. I got to know that you're going to be with me. I got to know that you're with me wherever I go. But God is saying here, my presence will go with you. See, that's the assurance that you and I need as we go out. When my wife and I go to the nations to speak, we don't go if we don't feel like God's presence is going to be there. If we don't feel at peace, we don't go. But when we know that God says, okay, go, we know then that his presence is going to be with us as well. And that this is really, really important to us. Because anointing empowers you and me to do what God has called us to do. Doesn't matter if it's preaching the gospel, if it's praying for the healing or the sick, or just ministering to someone. The anointing enables you and me to operate in supernatural ways. And see, the supernatural is what changes people's lives. We, you know, there's so many of us, if we've grown up and been raised in a religious setting, we don't really understand a lot of times the power of the Holy Spirit. I was raised in church, and nothing against my church. I was so thankful my mom and dad raised me in church, because I learned the scripture and I learned the verses, and I was taught faithfulness. And I'm so thankful for that. But we never ever talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. And just recently, my wife and I have had meetings with an ex-pastor of that church who have a son that needs deliverance, and they came to us asking for help. And I said, it's kind of sad that we grew up in this church and nobody ever talked about the power of the Holy Spirit on deliverance and being set free. And he agreed with me, which was a miracle. But they were seeking the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. There was a need that they were trying to fulfill. And today, if you have a need and you try to fulfill that without the power of the Holy Spirit, it's probably going to still be a need. But if you rely on the power of the Holy Spirit and the strength of the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that works the supernatural for you. Hallelujah. So the anointing is what you and I need, because it frees people from bondage, whether it's spiritual, emotional, or physical. And also it helps us grow in our faith. When you are used by God in the supernatural way, there's something that changes in your spirit. I can tell you it does. So we need the anointing because there's spiritual warfare. The war that's taking place in Israel and between Israel and Iran and the United States is spiritual. It may manifest physically, but there's a spiritual warfare going on. So if we're going to fight and win anything, we need the weapon of the Holy Spirit and the equipping of the Holy Spirit. We look at David and the shepherd boy fighting Goliath the giant, you know. You and I need that anointing, the same anointing David had. And how do you do that? You seek the anointing through prayer, through fasting, for a great desire to get more of God in your life. And we always need to remember that it takes faith. You have to step out in faith. And the anointing is also a gift from the Father, from God, and it always cooperates and is in line with the Word of God. So we need to understand it's not something far out here or something way over here. It's always something that lines up with the Word of God. Hallelujah. We've seen the other. I don't think you have to live a long time to see the other. So God is working in our lives so that we can be like that shepherd boy David was. We want to read a little bit from 1 Samuel 17, 43 to 47, because it shows us something. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth. Then this is what I like. Then all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, right? For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Here's a young man, a shepherd boy, going after a giant that's, what, three or four times his size, and he steps out in faith. Every day that giant came out and cursed Israel. That giant is still cursing Israel today. But guess what? The faith of the shepherd is going to destroy that giant. It's been prophesied. Hallelujah. But God wants you and me to work under that same anointing. See, David was anointed as a shepherd. He was anointed as a leader. And then he exercised his faith and did something. That's what God wants you and me to do. He wants us to do something with what we know and what we believe. But better not do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe, as I said, God is wanting to bring that same anointing into the church. You are the church. We are the church. We go to Ephesians 6:13. It says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand or withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." To stand is to trust God. You put everything on, you get all ready for the battle, you're ready, you're dressed to go, you got the armor on, and then it says to stand. That's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. We learn to trust God. Why do we trust God? Because he knows better than we do, right? And all things are possible with God. He knows what he's doing. He is worthy of our trust. Why can't you trust God? Because Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So what he's spoken in here is always true." Are you hearing me? What he's spoken in here is always true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we become familiar with God's character, we become willing to trust him with our lives. So if you haven't done that yet, maybe you don't understand who God is. I want you to understand that God is love, that God has grace, that God has mercy, that God has forgiveness, that God is a restorer. He can make all things new. So when we believe that in our faith walk with the Lord, then we should be willing to give him everything. We like to reserve a little bit, Pastor Mark, for ourselves. You know, just a little bit won't hurt, right? Guess what? That little bit is a door for the enemy to come and sneak into your life and destroy the good things that are in you. People don't realize that, and for many years I didn't realize it. But if you don't lock the door, guess what happens? Somebody can come and open it. And it doesn't have to be open very far for you to be destroyed. So you are tailor-made. Hallelujah. I want you to know that each of you have been measured by the Lord. You are tailor-made. Jeremiah, God is speaking to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4. And then 5, he begins to tell Jeremiah, says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah was God's child before he knew it, before he was a child. And how many Jeremiahs have been aborted, killed? Millions. Bad to say. But see, the enemy, here God is assuring Jeremiah that he is somebody, that he has formed him and called him before he came out of the womb. And then we have that voice speaking into our ear, well, you're nothing. You're a mistake. You're an accident. God surely can't use you. You've done too many bad things. That's a lie. Because the Lord says, you are special. And you were created with a plan. So when we look at Esther, just to name a few, Esther the queen, David the shepherd, Moses in a basket, Peter in denial, Paul persecuting the church. These heroes of the Bible didn't realize their potential or their importance until they walked in the call that God had for their life. And it's really likely for us to be the same. You don't realize your potential until you walk where God has called you to walk. Because you are tailor-made for the kingdom. Hallelujah. So I've gone to the title, No Excuses Accepted. We like to make excuses. Have you ever been around people that always make excuses? Well, I can't come to church because I didn't get myself ready in time, or my kids, they just are too much. I can't bring them to church, and I'm meddling, I know, but okay, I'm going to do that for a little bit. But see, if you plan the night before and get all their clothes ready and everything, then when they wake up in the morning, you can dress them and bring them to church. See how simple that is? No excuses. What did Jeremiah say? But I'm a youth. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, Moses said, I can't speak. Other people have said, I'm afraid. Or the giants are too great. But what happens when God touches you? We go to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 5 and 7. Isaiah had seen the wonderful, wonderful glory of the Lord, and he felt like he was going to die. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Hallelujah. Straight from the throne of God, maybe carried by Jesus, touching our lives. And then a few verses later, the Lord is asking, who will go and who will speak for me? Hear Isaiah, I will. Why? Because God had changed him and God had changed his life. We need the touch of God in our lives. You need God to change what comes out of your mouth. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're saying the wrong things. Maybe you're not speaking and lining up with God's word. But we need to make sure what we speak lines up with God's word. But here are those excuses. You know, Moses said, I'm afraid, I can't do it. And yet, God used him mightily. Esther, Queen Esther, she went into action and saved her family, saved her relatives, saved the Jewish race. And we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking of Peter. Hallelujah. Here's Peter in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit fell on the 120 in the upper room. Those people were praying and fasting for the power of God. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. They were waiting for that promise. And they tarried and prayed and tarried and prayed and fasted. And I think they talked it all out, Pastor Mark, all of the things and problems of their life in those days that they were waiting. I think they emptied themselves out in the presence of the Lord. But it says then that the Holy Spirit fell. In verse 11, that things began to change quickly. Hallelujah. The Cretans and the Arabs, and we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. In other words, as the Holy Spirit fell and as those who spoke in tongues, their language was translated into, the tongues was translated into all these languages. And people heard the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. Then Peter stands up with a loud voice and he tells a whole story about Jesus. In verse 39, and I want you to catch this, because we have people today say the Holy Spirit is not for us. It's finished, it's past. But verse 39 says, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And then verse 40, Peter strongly says, "Be saved from this perverse generation. Be saved from this crooked generation." How do we do that? We accept the word of God into our life. We repent of our sins. And we change masters. We begin to follow the Lord. So it comes back, this whole story, this whole message comes back to you as individuals. What's the call of God on your life? Do you know? And if you do, are you fulfilling that call? See, we have to follow God. We have to follow the Holy Spirit. And He's wanting to excite us, to bring life into our spirits, because so many times we are injured and we are hurt and we just close up. At least I do. Maybe you don't. But human nature has a way of doing that. And we just kind of coast along. But see, God doesn't want us to coast along. He wants us to be a powerful, anointed children, men and women of the kingdom, right? He wants you and me to make a difference wherever we go. Morning, I want to close with an invitation. I didn't think I was going to do this, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me very strongly. Brent, will you come? Or worship team come, whoever's supposed to be up here. But some of you have come into this church every Sunday and left again, in and out, in and out. And it seems like nothing has really changed in your life. Same old, 7 days a week. I want this today to be different for you. I want you to leave saying, "I know God has a special plan for my life. And I want to walk in that." I just want you to respond by saying, "Yes, I'm ready for that." And if you will, I'm going to ask you to just come and stand, and we're just going to have one prayer, but I want your standing and coming here will show the Lord that you know there's something inside of you that you want to give. Okay? But we'll all stand together. As the Lord leads, come and stand here. We're just going to pray. I'm not even going to pray or touch you. We're going to pray over you, with you. But so when you leave, you'll say, "Yes, Lord. Something different is going to take place. Something different is going to happen this week." Hallelujah. Because I've been praying and praying and praying and asking God to help me and help me find my place in this world. I believe, as you've responded, that something supernatural is going to take place for you, and you're going to break through into an area that you've been praying and asking God to help you with. So as we stand, remember, we are equipped. We prepared ourselves, we've got the armor on, and now we're standing by faith. We're not going to be moved. We're not going to change. We're standing by faith. And we're going to believe that this week something new is going to take place. Hallelujah. We're going to have answers to our prayers. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray. I'm going to pray with you. We're going to dismiss you. And Brent's going to lead us out. The worship team's going to lead us out with a worship song. But thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your attendance. Those online, I want you to be activated as well in what you feel God has called you to do, whether you live in the Philippines or Argentina or Europe, France, Belgium, Germany. God has a plan for your life. Let's get active. Let's be the church God has called us to be. Let's go out, tell somebody about Jesus. All right? Hallelujah. Father, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you love us, that you care about us. Even though we've made a lot of mistakes, you still believe in us. So we commit our lives to you, Lord. We say, please forgive us for being lazy or not caring. We want to serve you with all of our heart, and we want to make you Lord of our lives, complete Lord of our lives. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.